Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Good morning. The first scripture, Job chapter 12, 7 to 10. But ask the beasts, and they will teach you, the birds of the heavens, and they will tell you, or the bushes of the earth, and they will teach you. The fish of the sea will declare to you, who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. And Psalm 36, 5 through 10, but your loyal love, Lord, extends to the skies. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strongest mountains. Your justice is like the deepest sea. Lord, you save both humans and animals. Your faithful love is priceless, God. Humanity finds refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the bounty of your house. You let them drink from your river of pure joy. Within you is the spring of life. In your light, we see light. Extend your faithful love to those who know you. Extend your righteousness to those whose heart is right. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You're really going to know this book well. There's no test involved, but you're really going to know this well. The beginning of Betty's sermon begins with a summary. So this is the adult version, I guess. I'm going to read the adult version of this summary, and it was written by a Reverend Dr. Sue Shorb Sterling. And I'm probably going to be lisping all over the place after reading this. The story of the Lorax begins with a small child looking up at a lamppost that has a street sign, and the sign says, "The Street of the Lifted Lorax." It sits on a gray, barren land with no trees and no grass. The small child is looking for where the Lorax once stood before he was lifted away. If the prophet Elijah comes to mind, I don't think that's an accident. The question is asked, what is a Lorax? Well, why was it there? And why was it lifted and taken somewhere? So the little person goes to ask the onceler, who agrees to explain what happened, but for a small fee. The onceler tells him that once there was green grass and ponds with humming fish, there were clean clouds and bright colored truffula trees with these brown barbalutes, those little brown bear-like creatures who lived happily in the shade, and they ate that truffula fruit. It was the onceler who discovered the soft, sweet smell of the truffula tree tufts and saw an economic opportunity. So he chopped down one tree to use its tuft to knit a thede. As soon as the onceler has chopped down the tree, out of the stump pops the Lorax. That's that cute little guy on the front of your bulletin today, who speaks for the trees. And he's saying, "I'm the Lorax who speaks for the trees, which you seem to be chopping as fast as you please." He wants to know more. He wants to know that the Onceler is going to do with all those truffula tree tufts. So the Onceler is going to make those seeds something that all people need. Why, they can be used for just about anything from shirts to bicycle seat covers. And the Lorax tells the Onceler that he is crazy with greed and only fools would buy a need. But then there's a picture there in the illustrations that says, you need a thread. And yet they do. Those thieves become the latest craze. The demand is so great that the Onceler builds bigger and bigger factories and cuts down more and more truffula trees. And as there become less and less trees, the Lorax complains to the Onceler, the brown bobolutes are starving and there are no more truffula fruits to sustain them. And the Swami swans cannot sing because of the smog that's been created by the factories. And the humming fish's pond is polluted from the runoff from those feed factories. But the Onceler doesn't care about these animals. And his response is that he will build bigger and more factories to meet the demands for all of those feeds. Well, when the very last truffula tree is chopped down and the factories close and nothing is left except a polluted, barren land, the Lorax leaves through a hole in the smog but leaves behind a small pile of rocks with one word on it. Unless. Listen carefully, because Betty's going to repeat that famous quote in her sermon.
Good morning. Thank you, Beth. And Beth, I think we're going to be very familiar with Dr. Seuss's book this morning. Thank you so much for listening and opening your hearts to what Dr. Seuss had told us so long ago. Would you pray with me before we start this morning? Dear Lord, may I speak not from myself or for myself, but from you and for your glory. I have to wonder what I'm doing up here. I'm speaking to people much, much wiser than I am and who do the Lord's work much better than I could ever do it. But I am reminded again that we're told to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. And God will make our paths straight. And I pray this morning that God will take those words in my heart and make them the path for those words straight to your hearts and your minds and your actions. Amen. Catch your it. Since 1971, we've managed to develop the smartphone, the internet, DNA fingerprinting, vaccines for COVID, a treatment for AIDS, but somehow in all this time, we have never, ever managed to come up with a way to curtail human greed. A lot has happened since Dr. Seuss wrote that book in 1971, The Lorax, including the fact that many, many of us got old, which has absolutely nothing to do with my message or Dr. Seuss's message. I just thought I'd throw that in to cheer you up. The problems Dr. Seuss so cleverly describes with nonsense words like thneeds, try saying that one, thneeds, that's fun to say, thneeds, truffula trees, barbalutes, are easily recognized as ecological issues, the very familiar and sadly still relevant problems of immediate human financial gain versus long-term environmental stability. In other words, greed trumping nature. Sound familiar? Despite the best efforts of the Lorax, who speaks for the trees, the environment in Dr. Seuss's book is destroyed. Business magnate and inventor, the Onceler, puts his own need for financial gain way ahead of the needs of the birds, the fish, all the other animals, and of course the Lorax. Today we might call that human excess trumps stewardship. When we think about the warning in this cautionary tale written over 50 years ago, we have to question just how far we've come. despite the best efforts of many dedicated people, and particularly those of our very own green team right here at First Pres, we seem to be losing traction. Will the truffula trees of our day be saved, or will the cleverly created need for needs and other cheap luxuries win? Will we ever be willing to sacrifice a little immediate convenience for the life of a tree or a seemingly insignificant species? We question whether or not the temporary job growth for the Wunsler and his friends and family outweighed the importance of the permanent loss of trees and our environment, the environment in the book of the Lorax. Was anyone listening in 1971? Is anyone listening today? We have to ponder whether anyone has ever readily listened to what the prophets were saying. It didn't seem to happen in biblical times, and I'm not sure it's happening today. Is the issue really as simple as it was presented in the Lorax, or as one-sided as I've made it seem today? Probably not. For years, we have tried to wrestle with the dichotomy of having both environmental stewardship and economic expansion at the very same time. This leads us to the question of how far are we willing to go to protect the world that God gave us? If we think 1971 was a long time ago, let's try going all the way back to Genesis. We read there in chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Or if that isn't clear enough, how about if we look at chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the seas, the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on this earth. How are we doing with that dominion thing? If you're thinking not so hot, you're probably right. According to a report released by the World Wildlife Organization just in this last December of 2024, there has been a 73% decline in the average size of monitored wildlife populations in the last 50 years. Think about it, a 73% decline in 50 years. In case math is really, really not your thing, that's approximately the same time frame since the Lorax was published. Scary? It should be. Why are we ignoring God's command to be good stewards? I have a feeling the answer is very simple, and yet the solution is very complicated. Simple answer, we don't want to. Complicated solution, it all depends on your perspective. Many of us have a heart for the environment. Unfortunately, not as many have the resolve or the long-term vision to be part of the solution. Also, as with any complicated issue, there are many perspectives to be considered. If your livelihood depended on a job in the lumber industry, would you have the same values that many of us do? Would you choose feeding your family over saving a tree? It's easy to blame corporate greed for all of our problems, but reality isn't that simple. Case in point, full disclosure time, I drink a lot of coffee. My preference is for Starbucks pods in a Keurig coffee maker. I recycle those awful little plastic containers, and I use the coffee grounds in my flower gardens, but I know that doesn't make up for all the damage I do. Am I willing to give up those pods, even knowing the damage I do? Not so far. That perhaps I need to read that Dominion scripture every single morning before I make my morning coffee. Then and only then, maybe I could develop the resolve to put stewardship for God's creation above my own indulgence. As usual, human greed, or in my case, a lazy preference for convenience, dominates a desire to follow God's directives. That's why our second scripture is so important. I just can't seem to do what I know I should on my own. Only God has the power, the steadfastness, the wisdom to resolve something as complicated as our ecology versus economy issues. This is a big problem that we have wrestled with for years. Only a big God can solve it. Let's look again at Psalm 36, and this time let's focus on only verses 5 and 6. Your loyal love, Lord, extends to the skies. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strongest mountains. Your justice is like the deepest sea. Lord, you save both humans and animals. And I want to read that last line again. Lord, you save both humans and animals. Think about that one. God created this world. Ultimately, only turning to God can save it. But can listening to theologians like Dr. Seuss help? Can you and I actually do something? Well, of course we can. We just have to do it. No matter how much I love the illustrations and the nonsense rhymes throughout the book of the Lorax, the part that resonates the most with me, and you've heard it several times today, I hope it will resonate with you. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. Somehow, I don't think Dr. Seuss's message is limited to trees and clean water or even just our environmental issues. We need people who care. We need people who care about diversity, inclusion, equality, care about stopping violence, care about universal health services, care about quality education, care about free trade, due process, affordable housing, care about welcoming everyone to our church, any church. I could go on and on. Dr. Seuss ends his book on a high note. The onceler manages to save the last truffula tree seed and tosses it to someone who cares, with the admonition to water it and tend to it so the Lorax and all his friends can come back. So, stick out your hands. Come on, do it. Stick out your hands. Thank you. Do it. Prepare to catch. Will you be that someone who cares a whole awful lot? Will you?
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.